Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Unplug with Annie. We're continuing the series off Ignite, and today I've got Heidi on the show, who's an interior architectural designer. She moved from an award-winning Mayfair-based interior design practice where she was partner and creative director to starting her own firm. She's got a lot of amazing clients, and having designed and project managed the installation of a lot of properties in central London over the last 9 years, her expertise are in the prestigious postcodes of Mayfair and Belgravia in London. And she's done some incredible work, like designing a regeneration project for a significant charity in Egypt. She's also achieved awards for her innovative and futuristic designs. And her focus is creating multi-sensory design experiences combined with interior design. So this is something very new to the show. We haven't had anyone like this before, so I'm super looking forward to this conversation. Welcome, Heidi, to Unplug with Annie. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm glad. It's really interesting. I didn't actually think about having someone from interior design, because when I ultimately think about creative, that's not something which props up at the forefront of my mind. But it's so nice to have someone who's doing something very different to any of the previous guests.
Thank you. Well, I hope it's interesting for you and your guests.
Yeah, of course. First and foremost, I just wanted to ask you a bit about when, like, this interior design bug bit you, and how that happened. When was the moment you decided that this is what you wanted to do?
So interior design is a passion of mine. I'm very fortunate for that and really blessed to be doing something I love. Both my parents are architects, actually. So I grew up in that environment. We've always lived in this house that I'm in now currently. And I grew up, it wasn't always like this. So when I was younger, they kind of did a big extension and kind of knocked it down and redid it. So I was in the midst of all of it when growing up. It just came to a time when I was deciding what I wanted to do for university and study, and just interior design, interior architecture and design is what I studied. So it came naturally, actually, and it's just always something I've had an interest in. And I went to university and I just absolutely loved it, and I've just done it since. So I've been doing it since. So that's what I studied and carried on with my career. So
yeah,
that's how it went.
and you talk about it like taking a like multi-sensory approach to designing. So if you can explain what you mean by that.
Sure. So with interior design, it's just something that I've picked up along the way with my clients. So it's really about understanding your client's needs, because when you meet each client is so different. I have such a wide variety of clients, from private clients to estate agents. Everyone needs interior design. So from that, I've had to understand, because when, especially for private clients, when they come into getting a new home and they walk and you've got this big space, they get so overwhelmed by it. So you need to understand not only what questions to ask them to get the right brief and see what their requirements are, but also reading their energy as well and seeing how they kind of adapt to your answers. This new sensory thing really is, I mean, it all comes into interior with the interior design that I do. You need to understand so many aspects of it to create the right atmosphere and meet the brief. So this new sensory thing really is something that it's a bit of an experiment. I'm taking this opportunity whilst we're in lockdown to try and see. My work is really a combination of visuals and you need to really be able to portray your idea with visuals and speech and everything. So I've taken this opportunity to kind of experiment with this and see if I can take kind of theories and behavioral science and psychology and use it for good in terms of mental health. And this is the perfect time when everyone's really being tested at this time with their mental health, really. And so I'm seeing if I can portray that basically with visuals, because it can be a bit dull for people to just be fed information constantly. So, but people really relate to concepts and visuals, and that's kind of a strength of mine through the presentations that I've done with my clients. So it's just really exploring the conscious and subconscious mind and how that affects your habits, and because we're really always functioning through our subconscious. So you might put something through your conscious mind, which includes all senses, you know, smell, look, feel, taste, but you're not getting the results that you want. So it's all about kind of how to change your subconscious to align with your conscious mind to start getting new habits and getting the results that you want. So I'm kind of playing around with that at the moment on Instagram, and seeing if I can portray these kind of theories and these senses and ignite something different, habits through visuals and videos and different things. So that's what I'm exploring at the moment, and it's helping me grow as well. It's just, it's helping me push myself, get out of my comfort zone as well, keeping me busy, as well as keeping kind of a focus and a purpose to each day. So yeah, we're seeing how it goes.
Yeah, it's so interesting that you're talking about psychology, because you know, so many of the guests who I talk to, you know, we really, particularly in the last series, it was really about human behavior and psychology, but never do we really think about the relationship between our surroundings and how much of an impact it has on us. So because of what you do, like, in your opinion, how much then does the kind of, I suppose, the atmosphere that we put ourselves in the environment, how much does it affect us, even in terms of things like architecture and color and these kind of things?
So much, because the one thing that I'm mainly trying to get across to people is really be aware. It's all about the law of vibration. That's where it all starts, and that's where I'm trying to start with my kind of experiments. So the law of vibration, when people understand that, it's so important, because then you start understanding, you know, it's kind of like your brain is kind of like an electric switchboard, and it's what you feed your brain with first, and then that kind of vibrates through your body. So if you're really struggling to move, if you're really struggling to be productive every day, and you're not understanding why, and that's because of your subconscious mind is absorbing everything around you all the time, and then that then becomes, you know, that kind of vibrates through your body at a low vibration. So things like the news, like I'm saying to people, just cut out the news. You know, if you're going to hear it, you're going to hear it on Instagram. Everyone's on Instagram these days. So there's no point in constantly feeding on, because even if you're feeling great and you're sat there and you're watching the news and you're feeling great, and later on you might just think, oh, I feel a bit down, I don't know why. And that's because you've fed your subconscious mind without you realizing, with all these kind of low vibrations. So, and things like lighting and candles and plants, and I'm very much inspired by nature, because that just has such a high frequency, and just even going outside for 20 minutes can completely change that whole frequency in your body and mind, and just clear headspace. But because we're just feeding it with so much, and even Netflix and things like this, which is natural human habits, and it's natural for people to have that kind of outlet at this time, but when you start understanding how things really affect you to that limit, it is, you just, and you become more aware of it, that's the first step. You start switching off from anything that's giving you that constant negativity, which is something like the news, which that just, yeah, it's just being constantly, especially with this coronavirus, we're just constantly being fed fear. And you become quite limitless, actually, when you break free from that, and what you can achieve, and the creativity just flows naturally through you then. So it's quite freeing, actually. So and everything, like I said, your environment, colors, lighting, scents, like lavender really relaxes you, nature, just, yeah. So it's kind of a choice then. How would you rather spend your day, feeding it with kind of fear or feeding it with, you know, getting in the frequency of nature? So
yeah,
it
yeah.
affects you a lot.
Is there like a really proud designing moment for you, which you can tell us about, like something which really stands out that you've done, and what made that unique for you?
I'd say, in a nutshell, probably to cover it, my proudest is, I started a partnership with, a business partnership with, two partners, a high-end luxury interior design company that was 4 years ago, in Mayfair. And that was a big leap for me because, I had been employed, for so many years and, you know, and I was just kind of, my dream was always to start my own kind of design company, which I've done now. So it was that transition. It was that leap. It was kind of like a leap of faith for myself that I had to take, which was super scary. But that was a very proud moment for me because we became kind of penthouse specialists in London after a year, and we were dealing with the top developers in London. And that was just such that why I'm so proud of it is because it was such a growth experience for me. It was, I jumped just straight in the deep end with it. They kind of approached me with that opportunity, and I was like, yeah, do you know what, for me to kind of get to where I need to get in terms of, I had this 5-year vision, and you just have to go for it. And I went for it, and you know, I proved myself right, which was really nice and really proud. So that was, I was with them for 2.5 years, and then I left that company and started my own. So yeah, it just pushed me in so many different ways in terms of growth, in terms of I needed to learn how the business side worked. I needed to, it really put me in an uncomfortable position, which I needed, which again goes back to the law of vibration. You know, you just have to keep pushing through these terror barriers to grow. So yeah, that was a proud moment for me, yeah, starting that company, because then I managed a team of 12 people, and I learned so much from that. It was, you know, there was a lot of pressure. So it's dealing with pressure, dealing with stress, seeing how you're dealing with it and growing through it. I think that's the only way to grow, really. So yeah, it was really successful. So
do you feel that with designing, I mean, I've always wondered, it must be quite high pressure, especially because you're dealing with, you know, high-end clients who obviously have certain expectations. And yes. How do you then manage, because obviously you being a creative, you coming and having so many ideas yourself, but to balance that with a client, maybe own their own perception of how they want things. And can it be difficult sometimes? And how do you find that balance, I guess, of bringing your creative input and allowing them to feel like, you know, they're getting what they want?
Absolutely. That is probably the biggest challenge as being a designer, because it's all about balance. It's all about balance. So it comes back to, again, what I was saying earlier in terms of you have to understand the person that's in front of you. You know, people ask me a lot, what's your style? But you have to go in, my style personally, I'm inspired by nature. But each person is so different and so unique, and it's their home. So, you know, it's their right to kind of lead with it. You can't kind of have this ego barrier, let's say, of, you know, this is what I want to do, so this is how it should be. You have your vision, but that is always the constant struggle of how to balance that out, because sometimes clients want something, but you can see the overall vision at the end in your mind, and you know that it needs something extra, or you know that it needs that. And so how I deal with that, it's always kind of a process. So you kind of go to the client at first, and you have to hear the client out first and see, you know, understand the person that's in front of you, understand what their needs are, their requirements. And then what I do is I kind of take the main theme of what they've said to me. So for example, if they like things light and bright and airy, that's really nice and refreshing, but it can also, if everything's just beige, it can look, you know, quite washed out, and people are quite scared of, you know, contrast or anything like that. So the bit that I kind of introduce that in then is what we do is you take the client brief and you kind of analyze the property and take so many things into account. And then I go away and I do a presentation, a conceptual presentation, just of images and fabric boards and material boards. So that's really where you can start injecting your vision into it, because you know, show them the dream, show them the dream. I mean working in prime central London, you are quite restricted because there is this kind of London look, which is all neutrals, and you know, you win some battles and you lose some, but yeah, it's just all about back and forth negotiations, taking it step by step with the client, hand holding, talking them through it. But it's mainly showing people, you know, showing them so they can touch and feel the fabrics and get a sense of the space. Creating a really strong presentation is really important, and that's the first step that you need to do. You know, sell them the dream, basically show them what the dream is and get them to buy into your idea, rather than having a conversation about it. It's more like show them and see how they feel, and then it's back and forth. And you know, that that point, and then you can negotiate kind of, okay, what if we remove this but we keep this in? And right, it's just, again, it comes into with the kind of behavioral science and psychology, and that's where that side of things, that passion of things, started for me, really, because it is all about negotiations when it comes to design. So, but yeah, you can definitely be limited, and that's kind of why I eventually just wanted to kind of start my own company as well, because then you can have more freedom and flexibility and with who you work with and what you do. Whereas before, we were doing a lot of things called dress for sales, where clients would, mainly estate agents and developers, would bring us in to a big property that they're struggling to sell. So you'd have to go in and kind of dress the space, and then they sell it from there. And to do that, you need to keep it open to everyone's tastes, for all the buyers that come. So it really depends on the client and the project. But yeah, absolutely, it's all about negotiations. So it's all about negotiations to sell the dream.
For aspiring designers who might be listening, or you know, people tampering with the idea of potentially going into this field, do you have any specific advice that you would give in order to, because I suppose whatever we're doing and, you know, whatever industry we're from, it is about creating some kind of a niche or some kind of a brand in order to create the demand for yourself. So, you know, how do you retain that differentiation from everyone else? And what advice would you give to people wanting to do this?
Sure. So, I mean, I'm actually at the moment, currently whilst in quarantine, I just think this is such a time for everyone to share their skills for free. I just don't understand why not, because, you know, it keeps you entertained and it keeps someone else entertained. And I just believe kindness always comes back around. So personally, currently, I mean, I've started a kind of interior design starter course with people, and I'm kind of, you know, getting people to reach out to me if they'd like to start anything, and to get them into it. But I'd say, these days, I really don't believe that you really need, I mean, if you're going really technical with it, you know, yeah, maybe you do need a degree, but I don't think so. I don't think that's the way. I think it's just about jumping in the deep end. I think it's about contacting people, getting into people's kind of DMs and contacting them directly and saying, hey, you know, I want to start doing interior design, or I want to start doing this particular thing, could you give me a starter or any kind of information as to which direction I can go in? I think it's just about being a bit fearless and approaching mm-hmm. people and surrounding yourself with the people that you know of that have your same interests, because then you just start growing naturally when you're constantly surrounded by these things. For me, for example, on Instagram, because I really just believe Instagram is just the way forward now, it's less corporate and just it mixes everything together. So I'd say start saving. What I do is I have like archives and folders on Instagram and on Pinterest as well. So if it's designs, interior design specifically related, I'd say first of all, follow all the accounts of the things that you want to do or the field that you want to get in, and start, you know, and then you're constantly surrounded by it. And again, this is just kind of, again, going back to behavioral science and how the subconscious mind, you know, when you're constantly, these things are always coming up on your feed, you're surrounding yeah. yourself by it, you start getting inspired. It's all about how to get inspired, I guess, to give you that oomph to take the first step and do, you know, and do what you want to do. I personally save folders. I have different folders on Instagram, different, you know, for different things, whether it's interior design or psychology or fashion, all the things that I kind of am interested in. And then any image that I come across that I like, I just start saving it into my archives. Mm-hmm. And when I'm losing touch or I'm feeling not so creative, or I'm just at a standstill, for example, because this whole psychology side of things is new to me, so I'll take that as an example because I'm kind of diving in the deep end with that. So I've just started following so many different accounts of, you know, that has that interest. And when I'm feeling stuck as to where to go, then I can then revisit that folder and get re-inspired again, because it's got all the things that I liked, and it just refreshes your mind. It kind of resets it as to where to go next. But for sure, the first thing is just, let's start approaching each other about these things. You know, it's all about connections right now, and community, and getting in touch and not being so scared. Yeah, definitely bringing people together, because a lot of people, you'll be surprised, are just so willing to help and so willing to offer that advice and just set you in that right direction. So that would be my advice, because then it's not so difficult just messaging someone and asking a question. So it's not so overwhelming.
Yeah. So of course, take initiative and create a mood board is essentially, I think, what you're also getting at. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of, a mood board, a vision board, but that's what it becomes essentially. And in terms of, you know, Pinterest is a very good application as well, which I just live on, because, you know, that's a way to start learning as well. You know, if you type in, you know, a style that you like classic style or contemporary style, see all the images that start coming up. I just think visuals are so strong, and quotes, and they're less heavy than books. I mean, I love reading books as well, but like I said, sometimes you're just not in the mood, let's face reality, you know, just to sit there reading. So that's where I think strength in visuals, like a vision board, like you just said, it's key. So to inspire you.
Yeah, you mentioned mental health earlier on in the chat in reference to psychology as well. So it's something that, like, definitely is something I'm super passionate about and talk to all my guests about.
That's why I follow you. I love all your content. So here we are. That's why it's led us to sat here having a conversation.
Yeah.
Which is exactly a perfect example, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, it's such an interesting time, because I know when I was growing up, those conversations weren't really happening. And it's not something that we talk about when we were at school, or it just didn't
seem like a thing. It was a taboo, wasn't it?
Yeah, it just didn't seem like a thing at all. I mean, I don't remember it. But
no, it wasn't.
Is there any time for you that you struggled with this? And, you know, even in your line of work, I just feel like, you know, high pressure jobs where there is this kind of need to satisfy. And I think with everything that we're doing, because you're using Instagram a lot, you know, that's such a platform where you are exposed to people around the world, gorgeous people who are accelerating.
Yes.
You know, we see everyone's highlight reels, but we almost forget that it's just a highlight reel. And if so, how did you use that in a way that it didn't affect you to that degree, or you were able to get out of it or change it?
Sure. So that's a really good question, actually. Well, a few questions, because I think when you're always pushing yourself to grow, you're always experiencing, it. So I think it's just, I think mental health is kind of an umbrella that you put on it, and it's just such a mixture of different emotions. With each kind of level that you grow to, it demands a different you need to step up to meet that level. I'm currently going through that now with Instagram, you know. With the high pressure environment, it wasn't so balanced in terms of my lifestyle. So because I was so focused on my work and you know, my requirements and what I needed to do, and it was kind of because I had a responsibility of a team as well, so I had to put the team first always before myself. So I found myself just working around the clock all the time. And that, you know, that really added the pressure on me in terms of lifestyle, because it wasn't balanced, and that did get me down a lot when you don't have your time to kind of do your own thing. And just a lot of one thing is never healthy. Yeah, and that's the thing. You've got to see what the strengths are. You've got to see what you've taken. And what I do is always reflection. I mean, it's the most important times for me is the first hour in the morning and the hour before you go to sleep, just seeing, just winding down. And that really taught me how to... reflection, I think, is the main thing that really does help with mental health, in terms of it's helped myself personally, because then it just takes its me time to analyze, okay, this is how my day is going to go. This is what I want to achieve today, or, you know, this is how I'm feeling right now. So it's just sitting there and facing yourself, really. I think that's the scariest thing for us as humans, you know, just to sit there and face your own reality. And I think if you just set some sort of routine with that, in terms of giving yourself, and that is 1 hour that no one can compromise, you know, that's, I'm not compromising that hour with anyone. So it's that hour in the morning. It's just putting those self boundaries up for yourself and reflecting, seeing how you feel. Because if we're constantly, you know, waking up, going straight to social media without analyzing, checking in with ourselves first, I think your whole day just becomes completely disrupted, especially that first hour in the morning and before you go to sleep. I think that's the most important thing, is to sit there and reflect. I do it all the time. I do it at the end of each day. I sit there and reflect. I have that kind of same routine. I start the day with nature and end the day with nature, because like I said, it has such a high frequency. So it's just slowing down. It's slowing down, basically. I was just, you know, success is great, but it's not great if you're not living a happy lifestyle. And that's the main kind of thing that it really changed my life, is, you know, I always thought it was about just speeding ahead and being successful and getting to this kind of mark. And I did do it, and I'm proud of myself for that. But then I also, for the past 2 years since I left the company, and that was a really big decision for me to make, actually, because I'd built it up, you know, with my partners, and we'd become really successful, and I'm really proud of what we achieved. But that was probably the hardest decision for me to make for myself, because at that point is when I was feeling a bit, just really, my life just felt a bit chaotic and it wasn't balanced. And I thought, okay, so I've got everything that I thought, you know, that I wanted, and I've worked hard for it, but it doesn't feel how I thought it would. And I was getting a bit down. I wasn't myself. I was starting to lose myself a bit. And so that was a hard decision. It was to kind of walk away and make that decision for myself, take that choice for me. Because like I said, I think that's the scariest thing for people, is to analyze where they are in their lives. And because of everything that's surrounding us in terms of financially and the news and the world we're currently living in today, there's so much fear that's being constantly fed to you that you don't end up prioritizing yourself, and you can lose yourself in that process. And that's what happened to me. And so I just had to make a decision so for the past 2 years, because that affected my physical health as well. I had chronic migraines for 10 years. Wow. And they'd come and go. And, you know, my nature is kind of not taking no for an answer, you know, not accepting things as they are. And that just comes in line with, the kind of success mindset. And I was always kind of, you know, I had so many doors shut in my face in terms of from the medical side, saying, you know, you just have to live with it. You're going to have it for the rest of your life. And when I think, that two year ago mark was just a life changing decision for me to make, because I was like, okay, so I'm successful, you know, one part of my life is going great, but my physical health and my mental health isn't great. Mm-hmm. So it was time to, you know, come self-love, a bit more self-love, and focus on that. And that's what I did. And so for the past 2 years, I just sat there and completely spent time with myself. And that's a long time, but sometimes you just have to slow down or stop completely to then be able to go much further, so you don't burn out. And so that's what I did. For the past 2 years, I've been focusing on that. And I'm luckily, happily to say, you know, with so many things taken into account, and diets and everything, and being more just consciously and subconsciously aware every single day of my own existence, it taught me a lot, and I managed to heal myself, touch wood, thank God, from my migraines. And it just shows that, you know, we are limitless. You know, that's how we were created, with so much power within us, so much power within our minds that we're not even using, because we're constantly in this low state of vibration. So it's just that was a really huge wake up call for me. And that's kind of why I want to share that information with the world now as well, you know, for people to realize how limitless they actually are and what they can achieve when they put themselves and first and switch off from the world a bit, and switch off from all the noise and the chaos, and tune into things that are important to you. And for me as well, you know, like, God is a priority for me, and I was kind of getting a bit distracted from that. It's just listening to yourself. Reflection's the most important thing, and hearing out what your needs are and how to prioritize that. So
that's amazing. I think you've really like elaborated on that really well. But so much of the last series was also just about, you know, letting go of the things that are unnecessary in order to like accelerate in our life.
Absolutely.
And self-love, exactly, something else which I don't think we're taught. We just kind of, you know,
no. Life. Well, because it doesn't benefit the system, does it? You know, that's the thing. If we're being real, that's the thing. And that's you need to take that decision for us. And I know that's the hardest decision to take. And that's why this is a bit of what we're all going through now. And this is why I love your posts as well. You know, you go into such depth about this with your writing as well, and I learned so much from that, because that's things. Surround yourself with the people that you know that you want to learn from as well, and it gives you that extra strength to take that step. I think that's really important. Your environment and people, that's what gives you that power to release yourself, let's say.
Mm. Well, amazing. It was so good to talk to you, Heidi.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I hope I didn't ramble on for too much.
No, it was such a pleasure. Thanks for taking time out.
Thank you. And so nice to finally meet you. And hopefully we meet again soon and in real life when we're
Absolutely.
That was the end of an episode on the series of Ignite. I hope you continue to tune in every Sunday for a brand new episode with a brand new guest. This series is super close to my heart, being with fellow creatives, so I really hope you enjoy it. Stay updated with everything Unplug with Annie on the website, of course, and the IG page and Facebook page, Unplug with Annie.